You're listening to a Mash Those Buttons production. Visit us at mashthosebuttons.com.
Hello and welcome to the Torn and the Goblin, the Mash Those Buttons podcast about Warcraft story and lore. My name is Nick Zelenkevich and I'm Greg Thar, Torn Hunter on Earthen Ring US, and Katie. We'll get to Katie in a moment. Today is January 4th, 2023, and as you can imagine, this is a little bit later than I expected to be doing this, and this is episode number 152, if I'm not mistaken. And it's been a while. Katie and I last recorded, if I'm not mistaken, episode 151 back around the end of August. It was our sixth anniversary. We were very excited and we were like, yeah, we're going to keep doing this. Everything's going to be great. And life got in the way. And Katie's well. She's doing fine. She's still playing Dragonflight. She's enjoying it. But the thing is, she got a new job. She had to move a few time zones over. And those time zones are really what's been strangling the show. It's been difficult for us to find a time to record our regular recording time. As you may recall, we used to record Wednesday nights, every other Wednesday at 10:30 p.m. on twitch.tv/mashthosebuttons. That time doesn't work for us anymore. And we struggled to find another time that we could record, and we just haven't. And she actually, we were talking, she messaged me, and she said that she's been playing WoW, she hasn't been like playing it extensively, but she's been, you know, she's been playing Dragonflight a little bit. She's been enjoying it. And the pressure of not having to play the game to then podcast about it, that can be, I mean, you think like, oh no, I play the game and then I can go talk about it. And, you know, it doesn't seem like it should be work. But no, especially like a lore focused podcast where we try to talk about the story and actually analyze it. This thing has homework. I mean, there are times where I'd sit down with Chronicle and I'd be taking notes. I think I've posted some of my notes. I think my C'Thun notes back in the day when we did one of those episodes. You know, this takes effort and time, and that's not something that everybody has these days. And so she's not stepping away from the podcast permanently. At least we haven't come to that decision yet. For now, she's just on hiatus. And technically, I've kind of been on hiatus, too. I mean, it's not like she's the only one. Like, oh, she moved a few time zones over and we can't record anymore. I've had my nights where I'm like, you know what? I don't feel like I can do it tonight and whatnot. And I mean, if you look back last year, 2022-1, we only put out 12 episodes, which I apologize for that. That's not something that I'm proud of. I this is supposed to be a biweekly podcast for the entire year. I'd record squad goals. I'd record WoW talk, and at the end of it, I'm like, yeah, you can catch me over on the Torn and the Goblin and our Twitter thing. If you look at Twitter, you know, assuming that hasn't burned in immolation at this point, it still says, you know, drops every other Thursday. And yeah, obviously we've not been keeping up to that end of the bargain, and I apologize for that. Regularity as a podcast host is something you strive for, and it's something that I'd like to do. And, hopefully we can get back to that. That's one of our resolutions, one of my resolutions. As I look around the room and it's just me, is to get back to, some sort of regular schedule. And we'll talk about that in a moment. But so Katie, she's stepped away from the podcast for a little bit. She's on hiatus. She's enjoying Dragonflight. She's enjoying her new job. She's enjoying herself. She will be back on the show. I cannot let her just kind of like slink away in the dark. I'll have her back on either because she'll be back or because she'll, say farewell, and then we'll go from there. So in the meantime, what does that mean? Well, for one, it's me, and my schedule is going to be interesting because my wife is pregnant. Normally, whenever we have a kid, I bail out on the podcast for about 6 weeks or 3 months. It actually works out to 6 episodes, 3 months, two a month. And I don't know what's going to happen. As I said, my goal at the moment, as I sit here talking to you, is that we'll be putting out a podcast at least once every 2 weeks. The schedule might change. We might do something more where it's we might do like a string of episodes and then take a few months off. And that might work, especially with the kid coming. But we'll see. We'll see. But right now it's just me. And as much as I like talking by myself, and I'm going to do my damnedest here to talk for a full hour by myself, I should think after, gosh, since August, it's been 5 months. I'd have more than, 30 minutes. I'd have enough content that I wouldn't run dry in 30 minutes. But we'll see. We'll see. I do actually have like show notes for this, which usually when I decide to go on by myself, I just kind of go off the top of my head. And I'm sure you can hear that, but no, we'll go by those in a moment here. But yeah, basically we're in the, we're having our own little time skip here. World of Warcraft had their time skip, and you're like, a few things have changed. Thalissa and Lorthamar got married, and the Dragon Isles have awakened and all that kind of stuff. And our time skip here is that Katie has stepped away from the show, and it's like on Lost, like when Jack grew a beard, except Nick always had a beard. So we'll see where it goes here. But as I said, I don't want to talk by myself for an hour every other week. So I'm going to try to have guests on at least. And we'll see how that goes. So that means I got to start doing the homework of reaching out to people, which we'll be doing. So that's kind of where the show stands right now. Obviously, the first test will be if in 2 weeks if I'm back here doing this or not. We'll see how we're able to handle that here. That said, let's take a quick break before we get into our first topic.
The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of Spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
All right. So what's happened in the five and a half months since we've been here? Well, Dragonflight came out, but before Dragonflight even came out, we didn't even get a chance to talk about the Legacies shorts. And I love the Legacy shorts, if only because I always think of there's a Steve Austin promo where he talks about ending Bret Hart's legacy. And I just keep thinking of that the Dragonflight legacy is going to be ended at Madison Square Garden. But putting that aside, we got those three shorts back in, I don't even know what month it was now. We got those three shorts, and personally, I was underwhelmed by the first two. That's why, even then, back at the time, I was like, Katie, we got to be doing episodes and putting these up. And then I watched it, and I'm like, yeah, we really don't need to do an episode about this because it's all well-trodden ground. If you want to hear Katie and I talk about, the Dawn of the Aspects, we did a whole series of that with on the Azeroth Book Club with Britza over from Geeks of Azeroth. And we went deep into the book there. And here, it was a nice summary. For the people who haven't read the book, it was, something quick to go over and kind of get the lore. And I know there were slight little tweaks. The dragons didn't necessarily look the way that are described in the book, and they didn't show Deathwing dying the way, or not, Galakrond dying the way that he actually died in the book. And I get that because they weren't even 5 minutes long. They were super short. And so, they didn't have time to get all the details 100% accurate. And they were just trying to give you the feeling like this is what happened. I'm fine with that. I'm not going to make a big deal. But as someone who likes to analyze the lore and talk about this stuff, there was nothing there. This was all well-trod ground. There was nothing new in those first two ones. It wasn't until we get to the third one where you get, the revelation of Deathwing sort of, calling on the old gods for what seems to be the first time, or at least the first time that we're aware of, establishing that the relationship goes back, even, really well before the sundering. And, you know, there are some questions about the bracelet or the gauntlet that Deathwing was using to control the Drakthyr, about whether that's going to come back into play at some point. I mean, there's some interesting stuff in there. I do like the Drakthyr leader, and I can't remember her name that they introduced there. And I'll admit, I haven't played through the Drakthyr starting zone yet. I probably should. I still feel like making a Drakthyr. I made one on the beta. I got to play with the customizations. You know, that's to go off on a tangent here by myself, if I can, and keep the format of the show intact. I don't like that they keep adding new classes and new heroes and stuff. And I say this half seriously. Like, I understand why they do that. And yeah, the new stuff's fun. And I'm, you know, I'm always calling for Arakoa and Katie's always calling for Sethrak and whatnot. But I have my main. He's a Tauren. He's always going to be a Tauren. They introduced High Mountain Tauren, and I didn't even change over to that. I rolled one. I checked him out for a little bit, and then I went right back to my main Tauren. And, you know, that's not to say there's not some appeal in checking out other classes, and there's not some appeal in like this, but they're all diversions. They're all just real quick. Let me go over there and I'll make the character and I'll get to like level 10 if I'm lucky, and then I'll go back to my other character. And I know there's some people, they change their mains or they might race change and whatnot, and that's fine. I guess you can't race change to a Drakthyr, can you? Because you have to be a Evoker. And so you can't change your class at this point. So you're only rolling new Drakthyr, but then you can always roll a new one, you know, and you start later in the game anyway. But no, I don't know. Maybe I got lucky that I rolled my first character, and that's kind of exactly what I knew what he wanted, and I've never had to veer from that lane. But it's the kind of thing, I don't know, it's the kind of thing where I just feel like these classes get introduced, and it's cool, you see everybody running around on them, and, you know, more power to them. If you like the Drakthyr, if you like the, you know, if you like the Demon Hunters, and you like the Pandaren, and all, you know, and all the allied races. I mean, they were great to be added, but still, it's like they add all this stuff, and I went and I did the achievements, and, you know, maybe I rolled one or two just to have them, but I'm not playing them. And it's weird because I know everybody likes to say like this game isn't necessarily alt friendly, although the latest expansion does seem to be alt friendly. But they do, like, ultimately they want you to play alts. And I say this now, it's the beginning of the expansion. You know, of course everybody's focusing on their main. This is a different topic, you know, come the year-long drought at the end of the expansion when everybody's bored. And then you're like, oh yeah, you know, have 15 alts and be running them all and you know, playing who you want at the time. But at the end of the day, your main is your main. And I don't know, even if they introduce Arakoa, as much as I've been calling for that, as much as I've been saying I want Arakoa, even if they introduce Arakoa, you know, I think my Tauren's still going to be my main. And so there's a sense of identity wrapped up in that character. That I think it's at this point now, I mean, the your character might be 18 years old. I mean, that your character's graduated high school, for crying out loud. You know, if you don't have some sort of, you know, identity wrapped up in that, you know, that's going to be hard to dislodge. So I don't know. I know I'm being a little bit overly grumpy, like, oh, I don't, you know, no, they're fine adding the other stuff, but it just feels so superfluous, that I'm always going to prefer my main. I think that's just how it is. So as long as I'm on the show will be the Tauren and the something, at least. I will never veer from that. So anyway, but yeah, so they introduced the Drakthyr in the short. You got Nozdormu. And there's the interesting thing with Nozdormu here, where it seems incredibly likely that at some point in this expansion, we're going to see his turn into Murizond. And maybe we'll face Murizond. You know, people are talking about how even though we killed Murizond back in End Time, that wasn't actually the fixed point in time it needed to be. And you know, so we might fight Murizond again. We can do that. I don't mind. But even then, if we don't, even if like we fight Murizond and then he's like, okay, like I got to get out of here. And then he just whisks away. He's like, because he knows when he's supposed to die. So if we're fighting him and he's getting his butt kicked and he's not like, whoa, this isn't when I'm supposed to die. You know, he's a dragon. He has, like, you know, whatever kind of get out of jail free card he wants. And then he just poof away and we'll be like, okay, you know, and you just go through a time portal and all right, we'll face him later. And even then I was saying, I saw somebody on Reddit complain about something and I pointed out, like, they were asking, like, who's going to lead the Bronze Dragon flight after Nozdormu if he turns into Murazan? And I'm like, you know what could just happen is Murazan could, like, open a portal and leave, and then another portal could open, and Nozdormu could just walk right back out. And it's like Nozdormu from, like, 10 years ago. And he's like, hey, man, like, I knew you'd need me now, so I'm not here then when you didn't need me. And then, like, nothing changes. And then we just have Nozdormu going forward until at some point he's like, okay, I got to go back now to when you needed me from before. I mean, you know, he's always kind of weird like that. Half the time, he's not even around in the game anyway because he's some other time. That could be where he is. You know, all that time, you know, when he's been absent for whatever reason, like leading up to the Cataclysm and whatnot. You know, there's that one quest that you do in Wrath of the Lich King where you go to the Bronze Dragon Shrine. And that's one of the first quests where they're like, oh, hey, like you do this with yourself from another time. And you know, and there's the two of you fighting together. And, you know, they did about as well as they could with that, you know, from a technical standpoint. But, you know, it's like, oh, you know, we're waiting for Nozdormu to show up. Murazan to show up. That's what it was. We're waiting for the leader of the Infinite Dragon Flight to show up. Hey, look, Nozdormu showed up. And like, that was their little tip. Like, oh yeah, like Nozdormu is actually leading the Infinites. But you know, like he never has to be any when at any time. Like he can be wherever he wants. He can be whenever he wants to be. And so, yeah, like very easily, like who could be the next leader of the Bronze Dragonflight? Nozdormu. It just will always be Nozdormu. And, you know, at some point, maybe he'll hand it off to Chromie. Although I don't know, there's that cutscene with Nozdormu and Chromie where he's like, you know, like I can feel like it's getting close to the time for me to change over to Murazan. You know, he's like, I know my fate. I know how this has to go. And Chromie's like, you know, I'll do what I can to make sure that doesn't happen. And that's the kind of thing when you're messing with time and you promise like you'll do everything in your power to stop something that's supposed to happen from happening. That sounds like that might go bad. And you look back at the many deaths of Chromie scenario that's gone unresolved. And I almost wonder if it's not her trying to kill herself in the sense that she's going to be so determined to stop Nozdormu from turning into Murazan that either she might wind up becoming sort of an infinite in her own right. You know, I think a lot of people are saying she might turn into Eternus, which I don't know about that necessarily, but maybe. But like, I think we might actually see like, cause the problem I think is that the Bronze Dragonflight, as much as they're sort of, or not the Bronze, the Infinite Dragonflight, as much as they're supposed to be representative of like the chaos of time travel and the chaos of branching time ways, they sort of have that sense, like they have an internal purpose. Like they are intentionally trying to stop something. They are intentionally trying to bend the time ways, even though they can't. And I think that's the thing. That's the problem, is that if there's supposed to be one static timeline, and I'm doing that thing where I'm moving my hands to show like one line, not that anybody can see, but if there's supposed to be one static timeline and it starts to branch off and you know, that's kind of the Bronze Dragonflight's job is to kind of call that. And make sure that there's one flowing time. And then the infinites show up and they're like, no, we can break the timeline. We can break the timeline, except that you can't. And I think it's almost one of those things where, like, I don't know if when Nozdormu returns to Murazan, he's like, we assume, like, we look at Murazan and yeah. Okay. Back when he was voiced by, Martin Sheen, you know, he kind of came across as evil. But I don't know if when Murazan turns, it's going to be that way. Like I get the feeling, much like Chromie, like if she turns evil trying to protect Nozdormu, like I don't think that's actually turning evil. It's just she's approaching things in the wrong way. And I know, you know, Blizzard's been on their whole, you know, morally gray kind of mindset, you know, since what, like 2018. And I could kind of see the Bronze Dragonflight fitting into that, or the Infinite Dragonflight fitting into that. That it's not. That they're going to be determined to do something that can't be done. And they're, you know, they're going to be doing it with the noblest of intentions. And to the rest of us who are observing time in a straight line, you know, where it's like, oh no, this has to happen because this has to happen. And, you know, like the orcs have to come through the portal and yeah, the first war, you know, isn't great, but it leads to where we are in Azeroth now. So all these events have to happen in order. Otherwise you're going to completely mess up the timeline. I think from our perspective, we're going to be like, what are you doing? You're trying to ruin stuff. They're like, no, like we have to break this stuff so that we can improve things. And I think that's where we're going to get into it. And that might be interesting to see too. Maybe it's not that, maybe we don't just see Nos Dormu turn to Murazond. Maybe we see the entire Bronze Dragonflight become the Infinite Dragonflight. And then we just accept that we're working with them. You know, as much as we can be going forward in the scheme of time, because I think, I don't know. I mean, it is possible too. We just watch, you know, Nos Dormu turn evil and, you know, ha 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 ha. He, you know, he's a bad guy. We fight him. Maybe we kill him. Maybe we don't. I mean, all that could happen, but I think that, I don't know. I personally love time travel. I already made one Lost reference in this show. And from that perspective, Nos Dormu is like the most interesting of all the dragons to me. That I, when all is said and done at the end of this expansion, assuming his story is said and done at the end of this expansion, or not said and done, but at least kind of, you know, we get, you know, at least this chapter of his story, I'm not saying like he needs to be killed at the end or anything like that. Although, I mean, we know when he's going to die, assuming they don't change the timelines, but whenever Nos Dormu's story is all said and done, I want to look back on it. And I think it's going to be fascinating to see how they threaded him through time and all the different places and times he shows up. Because that's, I mean, I know I've talked too about how time is intrinsic to this game, with, you know, comparing our characters to the Timeless Isle and stuff like that. You know, it's fascinating. It's fascinating. And, you know, so I look forward to that. I think, you know, I it was exciting. I think everybody enjoyed, at least as far as I can tell, everybody enjoyed the Bronze Dragon quests in, Thaldraxxus, with the Azmarloth. I mean, that was all goofy. And the best part of that is they set it up earlier when Dante accidentally sends the Murloc through the portal. And he's like, I don't know what's going to come from that. And like five minutes later, we find the results. You know, so I thought that was very well done on Blizzard's part that they introduced, you know, they introduced the cause and the effect so rapidly like that. So yeah, give me more of that. And the other part too, I have to give credit to whichever member of the quest design team named those quests, because there was just a string of quests and I don't remember all the names, but if I could turn back time, I think, was it, Time and Time Again, Time After Time, I think was one of the, like they just had like a series of time-based song titles for the quest line. And I don't even think I caught it at first, but then I started and I was like, wait a minute. And I'm like, and then I was like going along, like, no, this is another song. This is another song. It got to the point where I was disappointed when they ended the streak. So, you know, very, very well done. There was a quest called Back to the Future, of course, also, which, you know, another great time reference, you know, give me a series of quests that are named after movies, Time Cop, suppose Endgame, right? you know, all the different time travel movies that are out there. I love those too. So yeah, very well done in the quest department. And again, you know, since we've now kind of moved into Dragonflight, although before we get into Dragonflight proper, before I start talking all about Dragonflight, I do want to just mention the short story. I think it was by Christy Golden. That was the Vow, I think it was called, about Raphion getting invited to a wedding and being like, most of us being like, I don't feel like going to a wedding, and being like, yeah, I guess I should go. It's kind of important. And then actually kind of enjoying himself for the most part and learning a lesson as he goes. But then also almost getting into a fight. Yeah, I thought that was very well done. It was good to see Lorthamar and Thalissera. It was a nice little way to kind of show where everybody is going into this, to set the table, as it were. You know, show where the pieces are on the chessboard. You know, so overall, I thought that was a nice little thing there, kind of, you know, prime everybody for Dragonflight. The thing I liked is it introduced Kurog, who it turns out is one of the bosses in Vault of the Incarnates. I always like when they can set up the raid bosses before the raid, so that when you get in there, you know, and you recognize like, oh, hey, I know that guy. Either I had some quests, you know, kicking him in the face, or maybe he kicked me in the face and now we get to hash it out, you know, me and 20 of my buddies, or, you know, Malkarok back when they put him in what was it? It was not Tides of War. The Jaina book. Was it Tides of War? It might've been Tides of War. You know, when they put him in there to set up Mista Pandaria, I wanted to punch him in the face so bad. And I was so glad when we finally got to the end of the, or not the end of the raid, but when, you know, found out, oh, he's going to be in the Siege of Orgrimmar, and, you know, you get to go down there and, yeah, you get to punch him in the face. All right. You know, I enjoyed that. Cause again, you know, I've said before, Siege of Orgrimmar, I thought, was a very well-constructed raid in the sense that it pulled all these bosses from so many different places. Like, even Thok didn't necessarily, wasn't introduced specifically before the raid, but, you know, still represented a part of the expansion and everything. I thought it was that raid was put together very well. And I feel like they're kind of doing that with Vault of the Incarnates as well. I mean, it's a little bit different because it's an intro raid to the expansion. It's not the final raid. But like I said, they introduced Kurog. You've got Razageth at the end there. And she does a good job, I think, showing up throughout the questing, establishing her as a threat. So, overall, I think the raid's been pretty good. But yeah, I enjoyed that that short story. I thought that was very well done. But let's move into Dragonflight proper now real quickly. Because if you listen to me on WoW Talk, and even if you listen to me on Squad Goals, I think I mentioned on there too, that I would approach this expansion completely different than any expansion I've approached before. Normally, especially, you know, since we started doing the Torn and the Goblin, I'd sit down and I'd, you know, crack my knuckles and I'd buckle in for a good play session and I'd be taking notes about everybody I talked to and you know, what happened in every side quest and whatnot. And then we'd come on here and we'd do a whole episode about each of the given zones. And really try to get into it and mention a lot of the side quests and mention the little characters there. And this time I'm trying to raid, probably trying to raid more than I should. And as a result, I've had to get two characters up to level 60 as fast as I can. And so I was like, okay, you know what we're going to do? We're going to come in and we're going to hit the ground running and we're not going to read the quest text and we're just going to go. And that's been interesting because I still think it's taken me longer than it probably should have to get to level 60 on both those characters. And my eye level is still way too low for what I need to be doing. But that said, I couldn't help myself. I got through the Waking Shore and I was really kind of sleepwalking my way through the Waking Shore. And so the whole Rathion Sibelian thing, I guess I'm kind of Team Sibelian, but I don't know. Cause I really haven't paid too much attention to them. I just feel like I like the older dude. Rathion is still a punk kid to me. And that's not to put Rathion down. It's just, you know, if you're looking for who you want as your leader, I want the older guy with experience. Rathion's still young. He's the young pup. He's got time. He'll come up, you know, Sabalon will retire at some point. Rathion can, you know, come up at that point. He doesn't need to take the leadership now. But that said, I really didn't pay too much attention to what was going on in the Waking Shore. And then I got into the Anaren Plains. And goddamn, those Maruk Centaurs. And what was it? The Shikara and the different tribes. Yeah, okay, I got sucked into that. I like those guys. And especially because they're hunters. I felt like as a hunter, I'm like, okay, like these are my people. Like this is, you know, there's the group of people that hunt. They hunt with birds. They hunt with dogs. Then there's the other people. They like the shaman group there. I was like, okay, like these are my people. This is where I'm going to be. I think I'm a little disappointed that we don't get to choose covenants and sort of formally ally ourselves with one of the groups like we did in Shadowlands. And I understand why they did that. But if I had to choose which of these to be my covenant for the expansion, I would have chosen the Centaur. And I enjoyed their quests. The whole Nokud, you know, showing up and then turning out to be, oh, they backstabbed everybody. You know, I'll admit I didn't completely see that, but I did like the fact that they're like, you know, you're trying to figure out what they're doing. They kidnapped Onara and then they're blowing the horn and you're like, these guys are just being complete a-holes. And then the green dragons show up and they start shooting them with the ballistas and it's like, oh man, like I thought that was very well done. And I did like too, though, it's like you show up and you show up to the green dragons. You're like, hey, you know, sorry, that wasn't us. Like, and the green dragons were completely like, I get like, you know, I get narratively, like at that point, you're so far, like, you know, they would have just been extending the story there. But it felt like the green dragons were like, okay, we're cool with you guys. Like, okay, that wasn't you. We buy the whole story. Like they got over that real quick, you know, but even so, I mean, it was all good. I enjoyed that part of it. And I look forward to going back and finishing up the, Anaren Plains. Although I think I have most of the quests there done. Then I got to the Azure Span and all I'll say about the Azure, the handful of quests that I did in the Azure Span, I haven't really done much with the Tuskar. But I know there was a lot of praise for the side quests in the Waking Shore and in the Onaran Plains, in particular, Veristraz in the Waking Shore, and you had Tyvan in the Onaran Plains. And they were good quests, don't get me wrong, not putting them down. But for me, the few side quests that I did in the Azure Span, I enjoyed them way more. There's one quest where you go, I don't even know where it was. I was just flying over. I think there was like a glyph I was trying to get or something. And I was just flying over a tower and I saw a little, you know, I saw a little question or exclamation mark on the ground. So I dropped it, or not on the ground. It was actually up in the top of a tower. And so I land in the top of the tower and I take the quest and there's a Drakthir. I think his name is Vendestraz. And I think he's with one of the bad Drakthir groups. I can't remember the name off the top of my head, but he's there and he's trying to raid this library in the middle of the battle that's going on around you in the Azure Span. His mission is to get an artifact out of this library. And so you get there and you're about to fight him. And then you guys like look over and you see there's a bunch of kids in the library. And basically this is where the Blue Dragonflight is throwing all their kids while the fight's going on. And so you guys have this moment where you're like, look, like no fighting in front of the kids. And he's like, look, like, you know, this doesn't need to go south or anything. He's let me get my artifact. Let me leave. Nobody's going to get hurt. And so he goes and he starts to get the artifact. And then as you're kind of working with him, because he's kind of holding the kids hostage in a way. But as you're working with him to get the artifact and whatnot, and actually, too, you have to disable the artifact because it's actually like very temperamentally explosive. So you're trying to like discharge the arcane energy so it doesn't blow up in the library. And then by the time you do that, he's like, you know, somebody's got to stay with these kids and protect them. He's like, you know, I don't need to get the artifact back right now. I'll stay here. And then the kids start calling him Vendi, and basically he becomes their babysitter. And I just enjoyed that quest line immensely. So that's a cool one to check out. If I knew where it was, I would tell you. As I said, it's just at the top of some tower in the Azure Span. And then there was another quest with two of the explorers. And I can't remember their names, but you're going through some of the runes with them and, you know, and then you get into some trouble with them and you have to extricate them and things kind of happen. And I enjoyed that quest too. So yeah, very vague on that. There's two explorers. You do stuff. One of them is a blood elf. But yeah, so those were the quest lines that I enjoyed from the Azure Span. The other thing too, I like how they brought back Syndragosa. Just playing through Mass Effect recently, basically she's a VI, but that's cool. And I think that's interesting. It's an interesting way because, I mean, we've seen them resurrect characters and have echoes of characters and whatnot. You know, so many different ways. It's cool that they're like, oh no, we made a simulacrum. And I like that she's kind of half, like she's transparent. Cause she's not really there. But then of course the fact that she's dealing with Kallik, over on WoW Talk, I have to give Eric credit, cause we put an image out and maybe I'll link to the image on Twitter. But it's the meme of the guy walking with the girl, looking at the other girl, except he made it. It's Kallik who's looking at the other girl. The other girl is the simulacrum Syndragosa. And then he put the head of the undead Syndragosa on the other girl. So it's like, he's walking with undead Syndragosa looking at simulacrum Syndragosa. And yeah, I know Kallik kind of has a reputation for falling for characters, I would say. I mean, it seems like he's had a few, relationships throughout the history of the game. And I don't know if you can have a relationship with a simulacrum, but it feels like maybe he might. I don't know. Maybe I'm just reading too much into it. Maybe I just want to see him hook up with simulacrum Syndragosa. I don't know. I feel like there's something there. I could be reading into it. Too much Mass Effect and, you know, video game romances in my head. But anyway. So I enjoyed the Azure Span. That was cool. And then, as I said, you know, getting into the Aldraxxus, doing the whole Bronze Dragonflight stuff was great. You know, so overall I've been enjoying it and I've been getting more into the quest as I went along. I couldn't help myself. And I do want to get back and do all the side quests. I still like, you know, especially later, cause there was the push to get to 70. And then once you're 70, it's the push to get gear. And at that point, you know, once you're trying to get gear, there's really no reason to do the side quests. Not yet anyway. Because they really don't give you any kind of, you know, I'm not going to get to eye level 360 or even, you know, 380, whatever, doing side quests. So I'll get back to those. But, you know, damn it, Blizzard, like, you know, as much as I wanted to ignore the quest lines, you're too good at your job. And I enjoyed that too much. So, you know, I think overall, I mean, you know, this expansion's gotten very warm reception. Here we are. It's January 5th, as I said. And normally by now, the shine would be off. This thing came out, what was it, like end of November? So we're a good 6-7 weeks in here. Normally by now, people would be starting to complain, oh, you know, I can't do this, I can't do that, I got to do this, this is getting boring, this is getting old. I don't see that yet still. You know, I think Blizzard really, they really nailed this one. I mean, I'm sure there's people out there that disagree, but I feel like generally the consensus from what I've seen is everybody's enjoying this. They're continuing to enjoy this. You know, the systems seem to be working. The changes to flight seem to be, working and acceptable for everyone. So overall, you know, like, what is there to complain about at this point? And I do have to give them credit. I think the way that they took the requirements and how they normally gate flight, and instead giving you a limited form of flight right up front and then saying, okay, here's what you have to do to go get the rest of it. I think that was brilliant. Whatever developer and or designer came up with the concept for dragon riding and how they gated it behind the glyphs, give them all the raises, promote them to the head of, all of World of Warcraft and whatnot. I mean, that was a brilliant idea, brilliantly executed. So enjoying Dragonflight. We'll continue to enjoy Dragonflight. And I'm sure as I do more side quests, I'll come back on here and I'll gush about, oh, hey, I just did this other quest the other day. This is really cool. It goes on my list of awesome quests in Dragonflight. But yeah, I mean, it's a good expansion, good raid. Everything seems to be going well. There's not much more to say on that front. So let's go ahead here and take another break. All right, so let's come back. Real quickly here, we did get an email after our last episode, so let's read that here. This is from Goblin's Drool on Manoroth, which, you know, maybe put a little bib on him or something so you're not getting your drool on Manoroth. But he said, hi, Nick and Katie. I just want to write in and say that I think the podcast is awesome. I've been listening since the beginning of Legion and got hooked when you guys covered the history and backstory of the Headless Horseman and the Death Knights. Despite listening to the show for years and really enjoying the story and each new expansion, I have yet to actually play the game until this year. So that's impressive. No, this is Nick editorializing. That's impressive that you were listening and you only just started playing the game. So cool. You know, congrats on that. I started a bunch of characters with my son, but so far we're having a lot of fun with the Goblin Rogue and a Demon Hunter, and we'll be boosting a Drakthyr once Dragonflight goes live. So you can tell how old this email is, because it's from before Dragonflight. I've also really enjoyed watching the Legacy shorts and can't wait to see where the story goes and which parts of it you guys decide to dig into. Again, love the show and keep up the good work. And then he goes on here real quickly just to congratulate Katie on getting her Headless Horseman mount. So congrats, Katie, again on that. And he says, thanks again and good luck on the next 150 episodes. So thank you, Goblin's Drool on Manoroth, for the email. It's cool that you're playing with your son. I've been doing that with, well, I haven't really been doing that with mine, but, basically like right before bedtime, like I'm dealing with the 2-year-old or the 3-year-old rather. And then he's like, dad, can I go play Warcraft for a little bit? I'm like, yeah, sure. So basically I let him on my computer and, sometimes he makes a new character. He's made like 20 characters on the garage server. So if you think you see me on the garage server, no, that's him. And he's made 20 characters. None of them are level 10. And I think like half of them are still in Exile's Reach. The other half aren't in Exile's Reach because he didn't start them there, but none of them have left their starting zone. And I'm like, dude, you got to finish some of these. Like, stop. Like, I don't know. He might not know how to play an old character. He might only know how to make new characters. Maybe that I got to sit down with him and figure that out. But no, that's cool that you're playing with your son. As I said, I'm playing with my son too. So I hope you guys continue to enjoy Dragonflight, and let us know what you think. So thank you again to Goblin's Drool for the email. And let's actually, I had a tweet. I need to apologize for this. This goes back to December 29th, all of a year ago. You know, last year, way, way back in the olden days, I got a tweet from Seam Bueller on Twitter, basically asking when the next episode of The Torn and the Goblin was. And I said, I'll probably record something tonight. And I did not. So I apologize for that. It's about a week later than I said I would. But here I am. And, you know, it's been a long week. We had the whole New Year's Eve thing in the middle of there and New Year's Day, and, the day after that. So, you know, it's been busy. But anyway, so Seam Bueller, I did say, like, I'll be recording tonight. Are there any topics you want to hear? And the topic he threw out was, I'd love to know what each class's lore fits into the greater lore of Warcraft and maybe each class's greatest NPC. And I said, that's a hefty topic. To talk about how each class's lore fits into the greater, the whole problem is the greater lore of Warcraft. It's massive, massive lore. I mean, just alone, if you want to talk about how each class's lore fits into the greater lore, look at the lore books in each of the class order halls, where each weapon, so there's three weapons, each have their own little like six or seven chapter story that tie into things and, you know, that explain the significance of this weapon with respect to everything else. I mean, the Death Knights, like Apocalypse, you get the story of how that was, you know, handed from Dreadlord to Dreadlord and kind of showed up at these different moments in history and all the havoc that wrought. You know, you've got the Eagle Spear in the Hunter Class Order Hall, and you get the story of how that was passed from Holm, you know, and how he had to get that blessed from all the different wild gods and, you know, so on. Or, you know, then the bow, I can't remember the name of it, but you've got the Windrunner bow, you know, the significance of that. You know, so you've got each of those stories for each of the artifacts in there, and that's just these one little weapons and how they tie into the greater story of Warcraft, let alone the entire concept of your class. You know, the only thing I would say is that in some ways the classes do fit in very significantly, but in other ways, not so much, because it feels like a lot of the main characters defy class. I mean, Vol'jin as a Shadow Hunter, that's not really something that exists playable in the game. Even Tyrande, I mean, she kind of goes back and forth between being a hunter and a priestess. And lately she seems to be more priest, but she's, you know, she was wielding those glaives. She had those glaives in when she was fighting Sylvanas. Like, then glaives only drop for demon hunters. So there's, you know, I think the classes do fit in very, you know, they're very integral to the story of Warcraft. I mean, especially, you know, you look at something like the Death Knight intro zone, where you've got like the Death Knights versus the Paladins. You know, Death Knights versus Paladins is a theme that comes up a lot, even in Legion. You know, we still have the Death Knights attacking the Paladins there, in a very cool moment. But I mean, so on the one hand, like they are important, but on the other hand, I think a lot of the main characters, I mean, Jaina is a straight up mage. I mean, you have all the mages over in Dalaran, you know, Kael'thas and whatnot. I'd almost say, as far as like trying to figure out each class's greatest NPC, look to Hearthstone and how they classify each of the characters, and you know, and which characters represent which classes there. And yes, that's my way of saying Nemzi is the greatest warlock. I guess real quickly we can go through. You see, this is where I miss Katie. This is why I need somebody else on the show, because I'm going to go run through each of the classes and I'm either going to miss something or not think of something the right way. And I need somebody else to point out what I'm missing. But that said, let's go through here real quickly. I'll say Gul'dan for warlock. I think Gul'dan, you know, strong there. Greatest warrior. That's a tough one. We'll come back to that. Let's see here. Greatest paladin. We'll go Uther. I think that sounds right. Greatest priest. I guess Velen. Yeah, I guess I'll say Velen there. Only because I feel like he's like Tyrande might be more powerful in some ways, especially when she was the Night Warrior. Well, right there, she's the Night Warrior. She's not Night Priestess. I mean, the stuff she's doing, I think she's outside the bounds of a traditional priest in that regard. So I think from the most powerful character that is just strictly a priest, I'm going to go Velen there. Who else is there? Let's see. Demon Hunter, I think Illidan without saying. Evoker, I mean, they're too new to really know. I guess I don't even remember her name. Who was the leader of the group on in the short earlier? I mean, I go with her, I guess. The greatest monk, I guess, has to be Chen Stormstout, right? Greatest Death Knight, of course, is Arthas. He counts as a Death Knight, right? I mean, he's the Lich King. Is that? We'll say that he does. We'll say that he does. Who else is there? Let's see, what have I missed? Greatest Hunter. That's a tough one, because it's either Rexxar or Holm High Mountain. And I know Skull Shorties or Bannerack would say Rexxar. And of course, I would say Holm High Mountain. Only, you know, I'm going to go Holm only because I'm a Tauren. Show Tauren solidarity there. He's the greatest hunter there. Let's see, who else do we have? We have, who have I not? Oh, Rogue, greatest Rogue. Maybe, I mean, I guess Valyra by default, but I would go, I guess I'll say Valera, only because maybe Matthias Shaw, but he's more like a formal rogue. I'm going to go Vanessa Van Cleef, because we all thought she was dead. That's some serious rogue stuff. Like Valera, like she's great and all, but at no point did she fake her death to the point that I'm pretty, aren't you supposed to bring like Vanessa's head back or something as like a quest reward? And like, she's then still shows up in the rogue class order hall. So I'm going to say she's the best rogue. But I'm open to debate on that. let's see here. What else am I missing? Druid, Malfurion. I'd like to say, Hemel Rune Totem, but no, greatest druid is Malfurion. Who else am I missing? We got Hunter. We didn't get Warrior yet. We got to come back to Warrior. Shaman. We'll say Thrall. Let's see here. Mage. Mage is a tough one because there are so many mages, and we even argued on Live Left Lore as far as who would win in a fight, was Jaina or Khadgar. So obviously the winner of that match would probably be the best mage. I'm going to say Jaina right now. Well, no, because he can't. I don't know. That's a tie. I'm going to say Jaina Khadgar is a tie on that one. You flip a coin, you can decide who you want for your mage. Let's see. Did I forget anyone? Paladin, priest, warrior, warlock. I'm sure I'm missing a class somewhere in there. Would I say druid, hunter? I need to open up Hearthstone and look at the classes. But actually, here we go. Mage, paladin, priest, rogue, shaman. Nope, I think that's everybody. I got them all. So yeah, except for warrior, who I have. Well, there's too many warriors to choose from. I'm gonna say Varian, only because he took down. But you got Sorfang. You got the other Sorfang. I'll say Varian for now, but really, I mean, there's like 80 different warrior. The warrior motif is so broad, and there have been so many stellar examples of warriors throughout the history of Warcraft. I mean, that one's impossible to pick. I mean, even then, you could kind of say the same thing about mages, but I feel like at least Jaina and Khadgar kind of rise above the rest. Maybe you want to throw Ronan in there. You try to argue Ronan was better than the two, But I might put Jaina only because I think she's a little more recognizable than Khadgar, but everybody loves Khadgar anyway. So it's a toss up there. Picking a warrior, there's too many warriors. There's too many warriors, but I'll say Varian. And so that's your list there. Feel free to argue with me, at WookieBH on Twitter, at Torin Goblin on Twitter. Also, you can email us torngoblin@mash.gg. Give me your lists. Let me know who you think should be representative of each class. Feel free to tell me why I'm wrong. Tell me why like Yrel should be the best paladin or something like that. But then we also had a question here again from C. Mueller, who said, a cool topic that relates to lore now is how it seems like Argus was a failed Titan project and that the original Eredar are Titanforged. The Titans are trying whatever they tried on Argus on Azeroth now. What could they have been trying on Argus and why did it fail? I don't know that Argus was a failed Titan project. And I'm curious to see where the origins of this theory are. Because like, as far as we know, when we got there, the whole thing was that the Burning Legion, basically took over Argus 25,000 years ago, and they've had that planet and that Titan world soul, in their grasp for 25,000 years. And it's actually kind of I don't know if it's a testament to the Titans that, after 25,000 years, like they were still kind of working to corrupt Argus, or, it's a kind of a slag against the Burning Legion that after 25,000 years, they were still working to corrupt Argus. But you think maybe they would have gotten a little bit further, that Argus should have been raised and been serving as a general in the Burning Legion well before this. But no, I don't know where the implication is that it was a failed Titan project. I'm trying to think about that. Like, I get the idea of the Eredor being Titan forged. Cause again, too, like you look at all the different, I mean, I love the Eredor because they just, like we see all the different, you have like the Night Elves and then you have, they kind of came from the trolls and then also like they devolve into the Satyrs under certain circumstances. And then you've got the Draenei who they can become the Broken, or they can get, or they can become the, not the Eredor, they become the Eredor, but there's the one. The warlock demon pet. I can't think of what it's called. But that's actually supposed to be like the Fel Eredar, like the really mutated Fel Eredar, not just the ones that still look like Draenei, like the red Draenei, not the same. You know, like there's evolutions for all the characters, for all the races, you know, as far as how the different elements affect them. And I think it's pretty clear that the Titans came, they put order to Argus, and they left the little crystals there, the Akamai crystals, you know, as their way of communicating with the, you know, the Eredar as needed. But then, you know, the Burning Legion shows up and they just wipe all that out. And so I really don't know. I mean, if we have the little bits and pieces of like Velen's memory and the little snippets that we get to see historically of what happened on Argus. But I don't know if we have enough evidence about what was going on back then to say like, oh no, it was a failed Titan project. I think it was a Titan project in the sense that they were, you know, trying to birth a world soul. And I guess you could say it was failed in the sense that that world soul became the corrupted Argus. But it failed because the Burning Legion showed up and kicked the Eredar off the planet, or it corrupted the Eredar, kicked the, you know, the ones that got kicked off became the Draenei. So yeah, I don't know if I would say that, I don't know if I'd say that's a failed project, but obviously their intent though was for Argus to grow up and become a nice Titan and join the family. But then again, their intent was also for the family not to get, you know, cleaved in half by Sargeras. So, you know, things happen, but thank you for the tweets, C. Mueller. You know, that was, those are very helpful. And, if you guys have any other topics you want to hear about, on the coming episodes, again, at WookieBH on Twitter, at Torin Goblin, and also Torin Goblin at mash.gg. And there is one more thing I wanted to mention that I've been very excited about. In the updated Uldemon dungeon, you get, there's a part where you can find some books. And one of the books, I forget who it's from, who it's to. It's between the various keepers and the Titan keepers, and they're talking about how there's an expedition being sent looking for some refugees, or maybe not refugees. Maybe it's more like a group of rebels almost that have fled somewhere, and they've gone somewhere that can't easily be gotten to, and you know, they're talking about. I think it's to Odin. They're talking about Odin's been sending expeditions after them, and the expeditions keep coming back dead. And, you know, and they're like, hey, I really think you need to stop this. Cause all you're doing is you're wasting resources. We're not going to get these people. And they mentioned that they went to Avaloran, and I am imminently fascinated by this. And I bring this up only because one, I recently watched Gargoyles, and I should say rewatched Gargoyles. I originally watched Gargoyles back in the mid-90s when it came out. But one of the big plots on there for season two is that they go to Avalon, and then they spend the whole like 20 episodes getting sent all over the place because Avalon doesn't send you where you want to go. It takes you where you need to be. And basically the whole, you know, Avalon, it's the, you know, the island of, you know, from British mythology of the Arthurian legend. It's where Arthur's body is put to rest. It's a, you know, mystical isle. You know, in Gargoyles, they had it as the home of Oberon's children and Oberon himself. You know, so it tied very closely into the Fae. You know, so it's very mystical. And the fact that they named the island Avaloran, and it's not just a play on Avalon, but they put the word lore in there. So it's Avalon and lore. Like, just two of the best things about this, you know, like two things that I love. I'm super curious to see when we're going there, what's going to happen there. It's not clear, like, is that the Dragon Isles? Is there somewhere else? Because again, I think the time frame on this would have been before the Sundering. So, you know, so what other islands were there that would have been difficult to get to if not, you know, especially back when there was one giant landmass? And I think this is Blizzard laying the little breadcrumbs for the world as we know it is only like a quarter of the world. And yeah, well, okay, Winterspring is up by the pole. And, you know, like Northrend is up by Winterspring and Northrend are up in the north parts. And, Pandaria is actually down by the equator. And if you go around the world, you'll find more stuff there that we haven't seen yet. That's my interpretation of where they're going with this. I am endlessly fascinated by this. I cannot wait to see when we'll get there. And the frustrating thing is that knowing how Blizzard works, knowing that they like to put these little breadcrumbs in three expansions ahead, I'm hoping that what it is there's a group of dragons or something on the other side of the other side of the planet, on the other side of this island, wherever it is. I'm hoping that's what it is, and that the last patch we're going to get to is us going over there and finding out. Only because I'm impatient and I want to get there now. What I think this is laying the breadcrumbs for the next expansion or the one after, when we're going to go to the other side of the world. Because again, like the map as it stands, we're filling in that map too much. They're running out of places to put more land masses. And even then, one thing I always liked about the old map was that you had the maelstrom right in the middle, and it's not in the middle anymore. It hasn't been in the middle in a while. Yeah, hopefully they can rebalance the map at some point. But one of the ways to do that is to send us to the other side of the planet and reveal there's a whole landmass there. Maybe it's where the Gorian Empire was from Draenor, since we never got to go to that continent either. Maybe they'll mesh the two. But yeah, anyway, I just wanted to bring that up. I love the concept of Avalon. I love that they named it Avaloran, and I'm very excited to go there. So all of that said, I think it's time we can go ahead and wrap this up. Thank you to Jarrett for producing and editing, and thank you for downloading and listening, and thank you for your patience. I know it can be difficult when a podcast kind of fades out for a little bit, and I know, as I said, over the course of 2022, we only put out 12 episodes, and I'm not happy about that, but I mean, what happened. I don't have bronze dragonflight powers. I can't go back and publish episodes that we didn't record and whatnot. But that said, just know that for now, the show's not going anywhere. I, as long as I breathe, if I have to end the show, there will be a final episode. So, as I said, if I can get Katie on here one more time, if I can get Katie back full time, we'll see when that happens. You have not heard the last from Katie. You definitely haven't heard the last from me. I'm going to start reaching out to people, to see who we can get on here. But, thank you for your patience. Thank you for your downloads. Thank you for listening. I know, normally, this is the beginning of 2023, the beginning of the year. One of my favorite traditions is the best wishes for the year. And I'm a little bit bummed that I didn't do that tonight, but I'll see what I can do for that in the future. That's coming. Because I can't not honor tradition. So we'll get to that. But we are at Torn Goblin on Twitter, also at the Mesh Network. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/mashthosebuttons. Also YouTube at youtube.com/mashthosebuttons. And as I said, I am at WookieBH on Twitter. You can also find me here on the Mash Those Buttons Network on WoW Talk, talking about Warcraft news and guild management, and also on Squad Goals, a Mass Effect Legendary Edition podcast, where we are finishing up talking about the Mass Effect Legendary Edition. I am not sure when this episode will go live, but by the end of January, we're going to be done. That's another thing that's been kind of taking my time. So once that finishes up, I'll have less excuses for not recording these episodes. So go check that out. I think, if you're at all interested in the Mass Effect, if you ever played through Mass Effect, go check that show out. We had a lot of fun doing that. It's only like 70 some odd episodes, so it won't take you too long to get through. We had fun. We had fun on that. Join the Mash Those Buttons community on Discord at mash.gg/discord and email us with any questions or comments. Let us know what you think about the class heroes, who you think represents each class best, or let us know what you're looking forward to in Dragonflight in 2023. Email us at torngoblin@mash.gg and use the episode link in the show notes to find all the ways you can connect with us and our community. You can also look in our show directory at mashthosebuttons.com/shows. If you enjoyed this episode and would like to help us out, please share it with others and rate it and review it on your favorite podcast platform of choice. And if you wish to support us directly, visit mash.gg/support to see all the ways you can support Mash Those Buttons. And stay tuned to hear about other shows on the Mash Those Buttons Network. I'm Nick. Ancestors watch over you.